Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We have been working our way through this hymn of instruction in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Wonderful, wonderful portion of God's Word, and it's a wonderful insight, I think, into the way that these early Christians worshiped God. They evidently had hymns of instruction that taught them truth concerning the Bible. And this is one of them. It has four couplets, eight lines, and then one additional line that might even serve as a chorus, but here's what it says: "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." I can just almost hear that last line being repeated as a refrain. He cannot deny himself. Well, we're going to get back into that in just a moment, but let me welcome you to this Monday, December 27 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And as we are coming very close to the end of the year, I wonder if you would consider a financial gift in support of the Beacon Broadcast to help us wrap everything up as we close out another year of broadcasting. Last week, I talked about the purpose of our worship music, the purpose of our songs and hymns that we sing when we gather together to worship the Lord, and what the Bible has to say about this. And I don't have time to go back to all of that, but I want to give you some illustrations today of what I have been talking about, because I'm afraid that we have dropped the ball a bit in this area and have basically just failed to utilize this powerful tool, this God-given tool, in order to implant the truth of God's Word in the minds of our people, in our churches. We are to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and therefore our singing is supposed to have a teaching element. In fact, I'd say more than a teaching element, the hymns that are directed to men are to be primarily for the purpose of teaching. Those that are directed to God are for the purpose of adoration and thanksgiving and petition and so forth, but those that are directed to men are primarily for instruction, to give us a better understanding of the Christian faith. They are not there to move us emotionally. They are not there to make us feel good necessarily, although a response to truth will do that. But these hymns are for the purpose of teaching us the Word of God. And I suggested that if we would go back 150 years or so and pick out the best hymns, not all of them by any means, but the best hymns from a previous era, that we would find hymns that are more solid doctrinally. Now, that's one of the good things about hymns from a previous era. The poor ones have already fallen by the wayside. Some would think, all of the hymns from a previous era were solid, great, doctrinally sound hymns of truth and instruction and doctrine from the Word of God. Well, actually, that's not necessarily true. There were good ones and there were bad ones from that era too, but the beauty is that only the good ones continued to be brought forward from generation to generation, and the bad ones, for the most part, drop by the wayside. When contemporary hymns are being composed today, many times They are very popular initially, and then they fizzle and decline. Only the really good ones are going to be brought forward to the next generation, which is the way it should be. But many times, for a decade or two, hymns that are very popular will be widely sung, even though they're not going to survive the test of time. So we need to be capable of analyzing them from a doctrinal standpoint. Is this a good hymn? Is this a good song? Is this a good praise song? Not because it is catching, not because the music is captivating, though indeed that's good, that's helpful, and I'm not opposed to that at all. In fact, I would advocate that, but the first issue, the most important issue, is the message. What does the message say? Now, all of that, to just bring forward an example or two of contemporary hymns that are filled with truth. And one of my favorite ones I'm holding in my hand right now is entitled His Robes for Mine by Chris Anderson and copyrighted in 2008, so it's very new. And I say one of my favorites. There are many good contemporary hymns, but this is one of them that we love to sing at our church, and it's not widely known, and I think it ought to be. So I'm going to read the words. I wish I could sing it for you, but I'm going to read the words. And you'll see what I'm talking about the truth, the doctrine. You listen. His robes for mine, a wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Dressed in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. And then there's a chorus. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. Stanza 2. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wages paid, propitiation won. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ, God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He, as though I, accursed and left alone. I, as though he, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. Wonderful contemporary hymn. And I got another one in my hand, but I don't think I'm going to take the time to read that one. It's entitled Lord, We Bow Before Your Glory by Eric J. Alexander, copyrighted in 2001. So again, quite contemporary. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not at all opposed to contemporary Christian music. There are some wonderful things being written today. But there are a lot of poor things that are being written today and sung widely in churches today. Some that are just, what should I say? They're just lightweight. They just don't accomplish much. They don't accomplish much at all in the way of teaching and admonishing one another in Christian truth. And some that are actually misleading because they contain erroneous doctrine. Now we need to sing those songs that are full of truth and that will help us to understand the Word of God, will help us to understand some of the more difficult concepts in God's Word. We'll help our children to understand. We are to be teaching them. This is one way to teach them. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we can learn this way. Did you catch that in this hymn I just read for you, His Robes for Mine, which is all about the substitutionary death of Christ upon the cross and how it's the gospel, how sinners are saved by this great exchange. Christ in my place, I treated by God as if I am him, as if I am he, I guess I should say, and a wonderful way of putting all of that together, and some pretty theological language here. A propitiation. It helps us to understand what that is. And I'm trying to see what other theological terms are here. Justified. That, of course, is a little bit better known term than propitiation. But wonderful truths and even doctrinal terminology which is taught. We can learn these things. You know, it's an interesting thing. Some of my favorite hymns, I've got so many, some of my favorite hymns were originally, and I'm thinking now about ones written in the past, were originally written as children's hymns. Today we sing them as adult hymns. We think they're way over the heads of children. But they were originally written to teach children truth. Now I'm trying to scroll up in my mind some examples for what I've just told you, and I'm having a little trouble coming up with that right now. The only one that comes to my mind, and this really isn't the best example, but it's a good one, is All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Creatures Great and Small. Well, that one really does look more like a children's hymn, but I love to sing it. It's a wonderful one. But there are others that were written for children that we sing as adults and never even realize that this was originally thought to be at a child's level. It doesn't seem like it to us today because our children's songs tend to be so trivial. Everything seems to have been dumbed down a great deal. And so songs that were on a child's level a few generations ago are now thought to be adult songs. And children's songs, many times, are just basically entertainment, nonsense, just things to sing, to create a happy atmosphere, to give children an opportunity to express themselves and to just enjoy the act of singing. I'm sure there's some value in all of that, but don't really teach them anything. And sometimes are teaching them things that are wrong, which is even worse than not teaching them anything. So we need to get back to this concept of utilizing our hymns for the purpose for which God intended them, to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I submit that's what we have before us here in 2 Timothy 2. 11 through 13, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. A lot of truth packed densely in that hymn. It's condensed, and that therefore it needs to be thought about, unpacked, unwrapped, elaborated upon. But the truth is there. And it can stick with us, and we can think about it, need to think about it in order to understand it. That's a good hymn. And we'll talk more about it, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.